What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I'm your host. And today we are talking about joining the military. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. I often get the question, should I join or should I encourage my son to join? And I'm sure there are ladies that are interested in joining the military, but that's just typically not been my experience of do they want to join or do they not want to join? Most of the time, it's young men that are saying, Dr. Gifford, should I join? So let me tell you why that question comes my way. And before I jump in all the way, just remember that if you're following us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, it would be super awesome if you could take a second and leave us a review. If you're on Spotify, just tap a star rating, and then that allows for Transform to continue to get boosted. And you guys know how the algorithms work these days, because I don't. Okay, why military and why me? Well, just a like quick vignette, I try not to do too much testimonials in my life, but when I was leaving high school, going to college, I intended on joining what are called the Army Rangers at that point. I grew up in Savannah, Georgia. Jimmy and Todd give me a hard time about that, but it's true nonetheless. And there's a Ranger battalion there. So all the guys that we looked at that were very like high speed, strong, the kind of like the dudes that were our heroes were the Rangers in Savannah. And so I thought like, school's not for me. I'm going to the military and I'm going to join the Rangers. Well, and in God's providence, as you have probably seen, I didn't do that. I went to a church camp and was really convicted to give the Lord just a chance to speak into my future instead of me planning it, being open to what God could do. And the Lord really used that to direct me to Bible college, then to graduate school, to do my doctorate. But in between my bachelor's degree and my master's degree, I did serve in the U.S. Army, and I did that for about 4.5 years. I served active duty, so you may be familiar with reserve, which is more like a part-time. There's National Guard, which is similar where it's part-time, and then there's active duty. And each branch, Coast Guard, Marines, Navy, Army, they all have their own equivalent of that. Some are harder to get into. Some are more selective. You know, some are smaller, so they don't need as many people. And it came down to the Army for me because they had the best opportunities for me post-college. I could be an officer, and then I could also compete for my job. And what that meant practically is that I did. I did both of those things. I graduated with a Bible degree. I went to officer candidate school in Fort Benning, Georgia. I competed for my job. I got 20th in the class of 180, and I was super bummed that I wasn't higher. I'm very competitive, as you may know. And I picked a job called Signal, which allowed me to be a communications officer in the Army. I thought that would be like a good bivocational trade. What I learned in that experience are some of the significant challenges that the military brings. And I want to share these as an insider, and I am not a naysayer of the military, but you do have to be candid about the challenges. If you're thinking about it or someone you know is thinking about military, here are the real challenges. Number one, and I am ordering these in this particular way, isolation from the church. And going to a chapel service is very different from being involved in a local community of believers. So I am very hesitant if a person is not strong, and I'll speak more about this here in our next segment, but this, if you're not strong in your faith and now you're isolated from the church, what do you think that's going to do to you? Most of the time, the chapels that you attend in the military are okay, but not great. And some of them are more like field devotionals where a Lutheran pastor comes to the field and shares a devotion from you from his Lutheran denominational background. And if you're not Lutheran, then sometimes you think like, well, that's really hard. Like that's not a super helpful devotional. And then that's all you get the whole week. So you have that disconnection from a local church. You also have the culture of the military. And some of us have watched enough war movies. We're like, yeah, Black Hawk Down. Yeah, Saving Private Ryan. And we have like this really grandiose vision of what the culture of the military is like. But the reality is that it can often be very gruff. and harsh. You're in leadership that is just kind of like, say yes, sir, say no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Do not speak back. Do not question, just do it. And it can be dictatorial at times, meaning that you're also under leaders that are not the best of leaders. You can now be stationed for 3 years under someone that's just kind of mean, unkind, not the brightest. And now they're your boss and they're determining how you're going to work. And oh yes, they have the ability to make you work overtime. So that can be challenging. That is not to mention the underbelly of the drinking party scene within the military. And as you probably have guessed, many of the military men and women, there is the bar scene that corresponds with military life. There were even locations around military bases that are known for being the bars where the soldiers, sailors would all go and spend their time, which creates multiple personal issues, financial, marital. And then you compound that with deployments and trainings that take you out of home, put you in contexts that are not always the easiest. And you have to be really, really candid about the fact that many marriage issues that come from the military are in part because of the culture of the military, not promoting the wellness of a home. You're never going to hear your commander say your wife is your number one priority. I mean, maybe there's one commander out there in all of the military, but they're going to say the mission of the military is the number one. So if you're in the Navy, the Navy's mission is your number one priority. If you're in the Army's mission is your number one priority. And in the back of your mind as a Christian, you're going to have to do that work of reinterpreting and saying, okay, I get it, but I also know that God has given me priorities as well. A couple of more challenges that if you just ask around, many of the guys that did a career in the military got saved while they were in, or the gals, they got saved while they were in. They were not saved in going into the military. And that's often a question I'll ask when someone says, yeah, I was in the Army. I'll say, were you a believer during that time? And I'll usually hear, well, I got saved while I was in. And I say, ah, yeah. The reason that is going to be a struggle is because if you're a Christian, you're committed to the church, you're committed to God's priorities, to jump into the military and to try to assimilate well is going to be a challenge. What I have found is that it is a challenge to have full allegiance to Christ and to be in the military, because there's always this competition for allegiance taking place in your heart. Meaning, I ultimately swear allegiance not to the American flag, but to Christ. And that seems like anti-America, and it's not. It's to say that ultimately my allegiance is to Christ, and that means that his priorities, his purposes, the way he wants me to live my life, supersedes what my commander thinks about me and supersedes what this mission may be. In most situations, those can be complementary, meaning I can love Jesus supremely and I can be a good soldier or sailor, totally. But there are times when you're going to realize that you're not the best because you're saying, I have a family to care about. And ultimately, you are trying to make me do something that's going to erode the unity of my marriage. And I'm not super pumped about that idea. So those seem kind of negative though, but I want to be real with you about the challenges. So what are the blessings and why would you ever do it? Well, you learn discipline. You seriously learn to structure. You have to plan. You have to go get your own benefits started. You have to set goals and work towards those. There are schools you pursue. You're rewarded based off of advancing in rank and education. And I think that's a really beneficial, mostly meritocracy type of environment where if you do well, you're compensated and promoted to do well. And that can be a really beneficial thing. You get a lot of great experience like living overseas, combat, leadership. And those things, when I talk to a 26-year-old who has military experience overseas, they've been in combat, they've led troops. It's like that 26-year-old is totally different from the 26-year-old that lived at home after college. They've worked for a website company and it hasn't really been significant, meaningful experience. It's like you guys are light years difference in leadership and experience. So it can really be a great career booster because it's actually helping you with skill sets that you would not otherwise have. And that is not to even mention the myriad of practical blessings. Practical blessings, just to be candid, when you're in, your pay is not going to be great. And just Google whatever military salary that is. And just think like, okay, that's not amazing in light of all the work that goes into that. But there are things like a retirement. It's like, I forget the stipend that you can get when you retire and you get a small percentage after 20 years. You can earn that relatively quickly. You can get pay that covers basically all of your expenses. So all the income you get is at least cash. You can get a VA loan, you can get help to do schooling, and in many ways, God has used the military to allow me to complete my education. I used the GI Bill to pay for my master's degree and my doctorate, and that was just straight up God's kindness to me. I also am currently in a home that I will own in like 2 million years, but it is a VA loan, and that allowed me to put as much or as little down on my home as I wanted, and that came from the VA loan, which is from my time in service. For many of us, what the military did is it set us up for success so we can move on to ministry or to our jobs and be able to pursue something that is not military, but the military was a huge blessing to us. And I think those blessings are a significant consideration in why you should do it and why young people should do it. Thinking through what is it that God's calling them to do now, and then how can they bless the military, but also use the military as a stepping stone to that next season of life. But the challenges are extremely important to note. And these challenges are going to lead me to answer the question of, should I join or should I not join? And that is where I want to go in our next segment, picking up with this idea of, should I join or should I not join? Okay, let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to directly give you my counsel for, should you join the military or should you encourage others to join it? We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. He is being brutally honest today about military service, the isolation from church, competing loyalties, commanders who can make your experience miserable, but also the genuine benefits that you get from it as well, like discipline, leadership training, educational opportunities that for Greg changed his life. The allegiance question that he raised is crucial. Young Christians considering military service need to think seriously about this before they sign anything, because your ultimate loyalty is to Christ, not country. Most of the time, those align perfectly, but when they don't, you better know where you really stand. And that's exactly the kind of decision-making preparation that you can get at the Master's University. Other schools are pushing careers based on money and personal satisfaction, but TMU students learn to evaluate major life choices through biblical frameworks, not just practical considerations. They're being prepared to recognize when cultural expectations conflict with Christian convictions. I can't highly recommend the Master's University enough. That's where Dr. Gifford himself teaches. Also, another one of our fellows, Dr. Adam Tyson, is a professor there as well. If you have a high school senior or you know someone who does, maybe you're looking just to go back to school yourself, my recommendation is the Master's University be at the top of your list. You can get the conversation started right now by going to masters.edu/transformed. And again, I'll say, if you're a young person and you're navigating these decisions, I want to also recommend to you another resource that can help you think through a lot of decisions that you're going to be navigating in your life. That's Fortis Plus. Fortis Plus provides daily wisdom for everyone, especially young adults who are at these crossroads. Fortis Plus is full of hundreds of hours, maybe even thousands of hours by now, of audio and video content that is available to you free of charge, and we are producing content every day at Fortis Institute. This isn't static content that was curated in 2014 and we expect you to listen to it right now. No, we are adding to it every day, and it's free. Download it right now and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Go to where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. And the reason that all of our content is free is because of you, people just like you. We call them gospel partners. These are men and women who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they've decided to link arms with us. Find out how you might be able to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been discussing just the consideration of joining the military, which is something that I get regular questions about, and it has to do with my military experience. As you may know, I served 4 years in the United States Army as an officer. I got out as an O3, which is a captain in the Army. And I just want to be candid. I wasn't like Rambo. I wasn't a Green Beret. I was the communications officer, which is like the term is signal officer. But think of the people that help you with the strategic and tactical communications. So radios, computers, networking. That was my job. And I chose that job. I actually competed to get that job because in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I have a Bible degree, so let me get a hard skill that could help me earn money for my family. And if I couldn't get into the ministry route, I wanted to have some IT skills that could help me pay the bills. Skills to pay the bills. But in God's kindness, I've never had to depend on those skills. I've never had to be an IT guy. I did consider getting into IT at one point in ministry that was really difficult. And I thought, man, maybe I should just go back to being a fisherman, so to speak. If you remember how the disciples kind of are dispersed back at the end of John to go back to their former life. But by and large, I've never been an IT guy. So the experience that I have is a firsthand experience. And I served from 2008 to 2012. And I know the military has changed a lot over those years, but I also served under the Obama administration too, which was not the easiest of administrations to serve under. So when I completed the last segment, I said, you know, you have to be very candid about the challenges that are facing you. And I didn't even bring up safety challenges because I don't think those are the number one challenges. And I didn't bring up moves, and those can be challenging. I actually brought up gruff, dictatorial leaders that sometimes are not the best, the drinking party scene, and the operational timeline or the deployment cycles that you're put on between training and deployments. Those are a significant part of does it or does it not work for you to join the military. Should I join? Let me be candid with you. And some of you are, you're asking the question, Dr. G, should I encourage my sons or daughters to go? My son is interested. I have concerns. Let me give you some things about how to frame this. And I will do my best to say, no, you should not join if this is you at the end of our segment. So should you join? I would say yes, if you're strong in your faith. If you have an independent faith that's not really rocked, you're committed to the Lord. And some of you, you may be 18, you may be 22, you may be 25, and you're asking the question, should I join the military? I would say, are you the seed in the rocky place? According to Matthew 13, there's different seeds. The one in the rocky place doesn't have deep soil. So what happens is the sun comes up and burns them off. If that is not you, if you are the one that has found soil, there's a tenure and a longevity to your walk with Christ that is stable. Then I would say, yeah, totally. Think about it. Because it can be a meaningful way of using your gifts to serve others and to serve our nation. But if you just got saved and you're looking to go to the military, I would say give it a year, give it a year and a half, and then reconsider should you join or should you not join. What can happen is the military can be that sun that comes in and burns off your motivation to follow Christ. It burns off your desire to be pure. It burns off your desire to not use alcohol to the point of intoxication. But if you're strong in your faith, totally, I think you should do it. Should you join? I would say if you have a foundation in the Bible, an implementation of the Bible. Candidly, there is a one-year Bible program at Masters that I recommend that everybody do. It's like, hey, if you're going to go military, then get a foundation in the Bible. But if that's not you and you're 18 and you're thinking about joining the military, I would say make sure that you have good theology because this theology is going to be what informs your decision-making while in the military. If you do not have that biblical basis, do not join. Let me just make it that clear. It's like, well, can I get it when I join? It's like, you totally can, but it's really hard, and the military is not going to provide you with robust theological education. So don't do it, and don't do it yet if you do not have that education. Okay, next biblical principle. This is kind of a theological principle. When you join the military, can you serve the Lord first and America second? Or are you going to let this mindset shift to where America is first and the Lord is second? In the back of my mind, when I had to do my background checks, whenever I'm swearing in, whenever I'm being commissioned to be an officer, in the back of my mind, I'm reinterpreting everything that they're saying to say, America's not number one, Jesus Christ is number one. And if you could enter into the military with that mindset and say, yes, totally, Jesus is my Lord, not America, and there will probably be a point where the military doesn't even want me, wants to retire me, and I have to remember that I'm not living for America and the military, I am living first of all for the Lord. If you put America and the military first, you will blow up your life. You will blow up your marriage. You will blow up your children's lives, and it will seem very patriotic of you to do that, but you'll be divorced multiple times and your adult kids won't want to talk to you because you never prioritized them. You always prioritized your job. So if you can get that prioritization right, it's like, yes, Jesus is my Lord, and then I serve as a soldier, airman, marine, totally do it. But if you can't get that prioritization right, don't join. That is the way that the Bible has framed this for us. You can't serve two masters. You're only to serve your master, Jesus Christ. Okay, point D, or the fourth point here. Can you maintain biblical priorities and join? And if you can, then do it. What are your biblical priorities? Number one, God. my devotional life, my church life. Those are non-compromisable. You can't get me to change that. No matter the environment you put me in, God is number one. My devotional life, my involvement in a local church, and you can deploy me to anywhere in the world. I'm looking for a church. My devotions are steadfast and I'm honoring the Lord. If you can do that, join the military. If you can ensure that your family comes before the military, join the military. Meaning your future marriage or your current marriage is more important than America. And of course, there are sacrifices that will be made, but in the back of your mind, when your spouse starts to say something like, honey, this is getting old, I'm tired of you being gone all the time, you have to be able to say, my spouse is a priority to me, not America. I love America, I love my unit, I love what I get to do, but ultimately, my spouse is number one, more important than America. So God first, family, then your job. The military will ruin your life if you let the military become number one. And it's almost like God's way of saying no other idols can take place of him. Even countries and even patriotism cannot take his place. So if you can maintain that biblical perspective, then do it. I think you should totally do it. I think you'll enjoy it. I think it'll be a great experience. And worst case, it's 4 years that you don't fully enjoy, then move on with your life and you now have great professional experience. So you could probably guess, when should you not join? When do I discourage guys from going and even thinking through personal friends, discipleship relationships, and my own sons? When should you not join? Obviously, new in your faith, you're not strong in it, you're newly saved or you're stagnant, do not do it. Do not do it. You're gonna get sucked into a culture, and if you're not standing for your faith in an easier environment, you're not gonna get dropped into the military and then all of a sudden be stronger in your faith. So I'll just shoot you straight, don't do it. Don't do it if you fail to have a high-level involvement in the local church now. According to Ephesians 3:10, the local church is the center point of God's redemptive plans. And when you got saved, you were placed into the local church, 1 Corinthians 12:24 to 25. So if you are marginally involved in the church now and you think that that's going to change when you get into the military, you are mistaken. I'm sorry to tell you that. You are mistaken. You're going to go to chapel once a month and you will be maybe a Laodicean Christian or an Ephesian Christian in Revelation where you forgot your first love, or you're just straight up lukewarm. So if you don't have a strong involvement in your local church now, don't do it. Do not do it, because the military will overwhelm you and you'll be like the seed in the rocky soil. Do not do it. Lastly, if you're a person that struggles with being rigid and you have a questioning spirit, meaning it's hard for you to take an order that doesn't make sense to you. And in order for you to do something, it has to make sense for you. I do think that's being analytical and thoughtful. And I do think that there is an important place and there are giftedness that you can use. There are disciplines where that's well received. But if you know in your own character that you are not great at taking commands that don't make sense, then let me just encourage you now, do not jump into the military because you're going to be miserable. So is it possible to think of the military as a means where you're in a mission field? Totally. It's totally possible. That's you. That's why you should join, because you're stronger in your faith and you want to serve others. But if you're not careful, you are the mission field. And if you're not strong in your faith, you're going to go and become the one that needs to be reached with the gospel, with the local church. So guys, if you're listening to this and you're in the military right now, find a good local church and go all in. And wherever you're at, push for the rights to be able to be at your local church or at least be at a chapel service so that you can protect your faith and honor Christ and serve our country well. In the end, you got to know that I'm pro-America. And as best as my sons meet these qualifications, I will encourage my own sons to serve in our military, preferably the army, but we'll see what takes place. But if my sons don't meet these criteria, then you better believe, like, I'm not encouraging a lukewarm son of mine to go into the military. I think they'll be lost just like anybody else would be lost. So hopefully this is helpful to you. If you're in the military, I would love to hear from you. You can write in at greg@transform.org. I'd love to hear what helps you, what strengthens you. And I have future episodes in mind for helping serve those in our military and kind of educate the rest of us that are not in the military. Or how should we think about it? But we got to be done for today, so let me pray for us. Lord, you are good, and you have blessed us. Many of us who are listening to this are Americans, and we get to enjoy, among some of the craziness of our politics, we get to enjoy a stable society, to practice our faith, to live relatively safe, and to be able to worship you generally free. So Lord, we do owe that in part to a strong military and guys and gals that are willing to go out and to serve and to put into action duty and honor and character. There are some listening to these episodes that have children that want to go, grandchildren that want to go, and they themselves want to go to the military, but help us to be discerning. Your son is our Lord, not this country. And that fact needs to permeate the way that we pursue military service. So help us to get it right. And for those that are waning in their faith or stagnant, Lord, I pray you would close the doors for them to go to the military, that they would first be strengthened in their faith and then revisit that idea. Lord, that's a heavy truth, but I do sincerely ask that you would do that. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.